Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Tuesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Monday. It is that time of year where we're still actually trying to figure out who our regular hosts are. So some of our regular hosts are in different places, some are in the right places, some are still on holiday, amazingly. Not sure how that works. Anyway, the Hawaii alert, the missile that didn't come. We look into this. People recording things at accidents. This is a new thing. The price of watermelons and being on the phone when you go to the dairy. But before any of that, keep teaching young kids second languages. What's the benefit of this?
I have a granddaughter who can speak fluent English, Dutch. She goes into competitions in Mandarin, so she can speak quite a bit of Mandarin.
Wow.
She studies Maori, she studies Spanish. So she's not fluent totally in Spanish, Maori and Mandarin, but she can go into competitions and win competitions and talk it to the people. But if she was in that country, it might be a little bit more difficult. And her grandfather, who is an opera singer, can speak in Czechoslovakian, Italian, German, French and Russian.
Good heavens. How old is your granddaughter, Kathleen?
11.
Right. And do you see, has she been learning that from the time?
Right from start. Yeah. Right from when she was a little girl. Mm. And she comes of Dutch parentage, but she has very good, her top subjects are maths and English in New Zealand. She's in 1% of the whole country in Australia and New Zealand. But she can speak all those languages. They just come naturally to her. And she takes them. She went to Montezier School at the beginning before they go to Montezier, before they go to school. They taught languages there. Then she went on to private schools, and all through she's learnt languages.
Sounds like a bit of a show-off, if you ask me. That's a classic New Zealand thing to say, isn't it? I've got a niece who's very good at German and is travelling around Europe at the moment, and so is able to really put that German to some good use, except of course the Germans all speak very good English because they have to learn that at school, so yeah, that was sort of a waste of time for her. Anyway, meanwhile, in other countries, in the US, well, it's westernmost state, Hawaii, they had a missile that didn't come, of course, but what's the real fallout as far as Nadine Higgins is concerned? She's been standing in for the impending Kate Hawksby on Early Edition this week.
It reminds me of talking to my stepdad as a kid about the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he talked about looking up at the sky and wondering if the end of the world was nigh and wondering if the Americans and Russians were about to end life as he knew it. And if you remember, the inadvertent downing of Korean Airlines Flight 007 by the Soviets back in 1983, then you'll know that quite quickly these mistakes can escalate. Perhaps we can be grateful that Trump wasn't sitting at his desk with his finger on the button. An intercontinental ballistic missile, they reckon, could cover the 9,000 or so kilometres from North Korea to Hawaii in about 30 minutes flat. So once the alert goes out, you'd have about 12 minutes to figure out what to do. So basically, the warning is kind of futile. There isn't much that can be done once things get to that point. The point is, we don't need to end up there. So sure, this was a mistaken alert and it was far from ideal, but I don't think we should have too much hand-wringing and calls for heads to roll as the result of a mistake. Investigations and system changes, sure. But to me, this is simply a reminder that America has put the diplomacy and the nuclear codes in the hands of a man who is temperamental at best, and he's goading another madman, who also has nuclear power, and of course, a vendetta against America. Cheery, isn't it?
Yeah, like Nadine, when I think of Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un in the same breath, I start to lose the ability to put coherent sentences together as well. Now, recording accidents instead of helping at them, this seems to be an increasing trend. It's what Tim Wilson was talking about on The Drive Show yesterday. I wonder if Larry's ever coming back from holiday.
Why are people doing it?
Well, we're living in an age of ever-increasing social media. It's the electronic age. It's 2018. People better get used to it. Sadly, it's a reality we all have to accept.
Talk me through the privacy issues associated with someone videoing a crash scene.
Well, it's a really interesting situation, Tim. There are no privacy issues in terms of the criminal law. It's not illegal to video somebody in a public place. People are fully entitled to pull over and video a scene involving quite serious injuries. It has all sorts of difficulties because victims, therefore, can be identified. They can be posted on social media. They may be entitled at a later stage to say they want their identities concealed, but the damage is already done, and it is a bit of a gap in the law. But there's no easy answer, because if we try to prohibit it, then we get into freedom of expression, Bill of Rights issues, and when it's all said and done, it is how the media have made their living for a considerable period of the last 50-odd years.
I think there's a difference there, though, Steve, isn't there, in terms of most of those media organisations have been in some official capacity. Now, I get the whole citizen journalism aspect of it. Most people don't tend to be citizen journalists. Most of these people are just doing it because it might get some more eyeballs to their, you know, their Instagram feed, and that's the crucial difference.
Well, that's ridiculous, of course. You can only upload a minute onto Instagram, and you know, really, if you want to really watch an accident, it takes longer than that. I record all the accidents I'm in, but I don't stop to do it. It's just happening automatically with my dash cam, so anyway, it is a weird thing, isn't it? Everybody loves to watch Nixon. The price of produce at the moment, where are we at with that? Specifically, Tim Roxburgh wants to know about watermelons.
Any word on watermelon? And no worries if there's no watermelon included in that yarn.
It's not included in the breakdown. I'm sure if you'd like, I can go and dig deep and find those numbers. Hey, what have you noticed? Are you paying through the nose for a watermelon?
Yes, and as sort of silly as this sounds, so I'm a massive watermelon fan, and this was the first, well, last winter was the first winter I can remember watermelon being stocked in our supermarkets, which is clearly imported from overseas. And so that was great. So you could get it all year round if you like it. But what normally happens is that watermelon comes into the shops in New Zealand in November, and it's locally grown, and it's dreadful and expensive. And then by December, it becomes okay and not quite as expensive. And by January, it's cheap and it's fantastic. This year, we are still as if it's all imported from Australia. So it's decent watermelon, but it's the same price as it would be as if it was, you know, late spring as opposed to the middle of summer.
You may have to move on to a rock melon or another variant to fulfill your melon needs rather than paying a lot of money for watermelon, which, to be fair, is just all water and no melon, but, in my humble opinion.
But very good for you, and very good for your blood flow and your heart and kidneys and liver and good times.
Of course, in the Glenzie B household, we just got back from Vietnam where the fresh produce is actually very good. Surprised me how amazing it is. And the watermelon is one of the main fruits served everywhere. So, of course, you come back from holiday and you try and recreate the meals you've just been eating because you like them so much. And we were looking everywhere at the supermarket for watermelon. We didn't want a whole watermelon. Hard to cut up a whole watermelon. We're looking for cutter, and they didn't have that. And didn't want to pay for a whole watermelon. Was about $8, I think. And it's big. Yeah, you got nowhere to put a whole watermelon. You want to cut up. It's a bit like pineapple. Nobody really wants to cut up a pineapple either. I feel like we've got away for a bit from the news of the day, so let's bring it back as we always do with Marcus Lush, who is our news specialist at the end of the day, talking about people on the phone and dairies.
The right for dairy owners not to serve people when they're on their cell phones. It might be a popular thing, but it's not going to be a lasting thing because people are going to spend more and more time on them, I would think. But I'm curious for your point of view on this. It's something that people do want to discuss. Lots of texts coming in about that. 0800 80 1080 9292 for the texts. Liz, hello.
Hello. I'm actually having a laugh over that because I've got a business, and I would have thought if they could point with their nose or they wouldn't refuse deaf and dumb people. They're selling. That's their job, legally. They're there to serve. I think it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. I say don't be in business because you're far too well off to even be bothered selling.
You think it must just be a retirement kind of a hobby for them or something? They want to meet people?
Oh, I have no idea, but they don't deserve to be there because, if you take on that, you've got a legal obligation to do what the workers should do. If you're standing at a petrol pump and someone don't like them putting a card and you don't refuse to serve. I mean, let's get real. That's a job you're doing. I think it's hysterical.
I can't disagree. I don't disagree with you, Liz. completely agree. How dare they?
One thing's for sure, you're not supposed to be on the cell phone at the petrol pump because that can cause fires. Is that true? That sounds like the whole cell phone on when the plane's going. And then, of course, now you're allowed to have your cell phone on when the plane's going. So we're getting mixed messages about that. Certainly, I've had dairy owners be on the cell phone. So it's been around the other way. And I've been waiting for them to serve me, but they're too busy on there. That's annoying. Anyway, I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB. Great, big news day yesterday, obviously, and I'm sure there'll be another one today, and I'll be back with that for you tomorrow. See you then.